Good afternoon, good morning. Welcome to the program. In a 2014 tweet, Olivia Nuzzi from New York Magazine once said, quote, "Dance like no one is watching. Email like one day it will be read aloud at a deposition." I want to share some thoughts about yesterday's Gary Bettman, Bill Daly press conference. We went off the air as it ended here on the program. Yesterday we learned a couple of things. A couple of things that should be obvious to everyone. The NHL is a business and lawsuits are very real. Now make no mistake about it, right now in the Kyle Beach story, we look for things like empathy, compassion, understanding, and a rebuilding of trust and credibility. That is the expectation at this moment. Yesterday's presser did not hit that. Now, there were attempts at it, but ultimately the hour-long session was an exercise in the NHL defending itself. Gary and Bill are lawyers, and they were speaking like lawyers. I don't know that we should have expected anything else. Words were very measured and presented so one day they wouldn't be read aloud in court. Now, there were some potentially positive moments in this as well. I don't want to lose sight of that. The league establishing or looking to establish a network accessible to everybody in hockey to make sure everybody who needs help and resources has access to them. And that's great. We'll all eagerly watch the follow-up. The league will look to hire an outside group to do an audit of the league's resources to ensure they are adequate. Again, that is great. Will the league also, though, make that report public? Now, there were things in the presser that were needless. The Akeem Alou claim by the NHL, the investigation is done, we're in contact with Alou's people. Alou's people shut that down almost immediately. That's angering. The needless point about Sheldon Kennedy, that his assault didn't happen in the NHL, as if that matters at all. Glibly shuffling off a question about why cap circumvention and combine violations merit stiffer penalties than what the Hawks received by saying different contexts, different facts, isn't going to cut it in the court of public opinion. There's still a lot of things that need answering here. Is Joel Quenneville still getting paid? Is Stan Bowman still getting paid? You know, the one thing that stood out to me was how after defending the $2 million fine to the Chicago Blackhawks, the commissioner, you could argue, made the case why it wasn't sufficient at all himself. I'll ask you to consider this point. The league says they were first given the, quote, heads up by Chicago Blackhawks general counsel in December of 2020, citing a potential civil litigation, but the claim was, quote, without merit. That's what the NHL received from Blackhawks general counsel. Now, considering what this has become, the most explosive story in hockey, a story whose tentacles are far-reaching to the point where we still don't know where they'll lead, this is anything but, quote, without merit. And as such, if this is what the Hawks told the league in December 2020, how is a $2 million fine anywhere close to sufficient? I know we're all trying to look forward, create an environment where these cases don't happen, and if they do, victims feel supported telling their stories. That's important, but we still need to look at the events and focus there and not be distracted. This idea that inherently we're now in a different place and we're better now leads us away from dealing with abuse. And as one person told me this morning, it's like somehow suggesting we have a new way of looking at crime. One more thing to consider. As we praise Kyle Beach for his bravery, and we should, as we praise reporters for breaking and staying on the story and people pointing to a new way, I think of a great reminder from Noam Chomsky, who said, changes and progress very rarely are gifts from above. They come out of struggles from below. Welcome to the program today. Elliot Friedman joins me from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. Elliot, on the podcast we released this morning, we talked a lot about yesterday's presser between Bettman and Daly. I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add to it or if you want to leave it there and say our comments are there, but I'll open up before we move on. The floor is yours if you want to say anything else about the Bettman Daily press conference from yesterday.
No, I don't, like, Jeff, first of all, I was just on the phone with Healy. He says hello. Secondly, you know, like, I think our feelings were pretty much the same as everybody else's. And, I think the one interesting thing I got this morning was, you know, there's a few people you reach out to from time to time just to ask them how things are going. What do you think about certain things? And there's one governor in the league. I'm kind of like with that. And I sent him a note yesterday, just, you know, what did you think about this? And he said, look, I've got some things I have to work on, and I'm going to look at that tonight and I'll get back to you on it. And so I woke up this morning to a note back from him saying, you know, basically, and I thought it was a really good way of framing it. The distance between what we were expecting to happen and what actually happened was very wide. And I think that, and that's all he wrote. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot. I think that what that says to me is that there's people out there who are in positions of influence around the league who would look at that yesterday and say, we've got to do a lot better than that. And that's important.
Mm-hmm. Again, not that we're going to shuffle it off to another property. I just don't want us to repeat ourselves here on this one after someone just got released. But a lot of our comments are on the podcast that just got released this morning. That's available at your favorite pod catcher. Kevin Cheveldayoff, the one thing that we did discuss and we'll move forward today is the Kevin Cheveldayoff press conference with Mark Chipman, which takes place a little bit later on.
Yep.
You've talked about the July statement from Cheveldayoff.
Yeah.
As being, I don't think I'm being too harsh when I say it's annoying, borderline offensive, considering everything that's happened. What do we expect at the press conference today from the Winnipeg Jets general manager and owner?
I expect a clear accounting of why, you know, Mark Chipman, he's a very loyal person. He takes a lot of pride in the fact that since the team moved from Atlanta to Winnipeg, he's only had one general manager and two coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before even getting to this situation, just from a pure organizational point of view, he believes that's important. He believes that the less change you make, the less you create. I don't even know what the word is, but the more you create cohesion. And so that's his default position on just about everything in business. In this particular situation, one of the things we'd heard was that he was backing his general manager based on what he knew, and he was steadfast in that. Cheveldayoff, we know now, he was the one, yesterday it was confirmed what had been rumored, that other people in that meeting didn't even remember Cheveldayoff in that meeting, and he was the one who confirmed that he was there or brought up that he was there. And, you know, I have wondered if that played a role in the fact that he didn't get a penalty. But, it's not good enough for people right now. People are really angry. They want a lot more than this. So, I don't even know, like, to be honest, I don't even know what they could really say that's going to change anybody's mind. Like, I'm trying to imagine, Jeff, what mm-hmm. they can say today. There's got to be something new, something completely different. And, you know, ultimately, I do believe, as I said on the podcast this morning, that this is going to come down to the reaction of the Jets fans, sponsors, and business partners. How do they feel?
Let's pause on that for 1 second. Right now, there's a, because sponsors is the one thing that we haven't talked about.
Yep.
Fans are angry. We know that. Fans are upset. Mm-hmm. I can speak, personally, my emotions have gone from, you know, sadness and struggle to anger. That's where I'm at right now. And I think other people are there as well. There's like legitimate anger. Last week was all about, you know, sympathy and compassion and sensitivity. And now it's turned to anger about this entire situation. That's where I think a lot of fans are at on this one. Mm-hmm. This is an NHL where we were looking at revenues being in the $4 to $5 billion range. Mm-hmm. For this season, and the NHL has been greeted with soft ticket sales. One team president I spoke with yesterday said they were down 25%. Like you're mm-hmm. seeing online ticket packages for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Elliot, mm-hmm. you and I are both from Toronto. When did we ever think we would see that? You'd just mm-hmm. be able to put up on the marquee hockey tonight 7 p.m. and the building would be full. Mm-hmm. Now they need to advertise to sell tickets, and the sellout streaks are ending. Chicago, etc. But the one thing we haven't focused on is brand association. Mm-hmm. And sponsorships are a big part of the revenues of the NHL. And I would imagine that there are a lot of sponsors out there right now that don't want their brand placed anywhere next to this. Mm-hmm. How is this affecting the bottom line of the NHL? And how significant do you think the sponsorship issue is? We know the fan issue, and this is mainly mm-hmm. a turnstile sport. We get that. But mm-hmm. sponsors are important. Sponsors help keep the lights on. You know, there's an all-star game every year, and it's one to say thank you to the people who keep the lights on, sponsors and fans. How do they factor into all of this?
I think they factor hugely into it. What the sponsor reaction is going to do to the bottom line, I think it's too early to say. Like, I've heard there have been sponsors that have been upset. There's no question about that. And I can't imagine that they're feeling any better a week later. I think it's really hard to say where this is going to go. You know, I looked at Chicago last night because, you know, we had the game on Hometown Hockey, and I think they announced 15,000. How many people do you think were actually in the building?
Yeah, well, we've talked about that before.
The thing is, October is always – like the war, like there's a lot of NHL markets in the States that would rather they start the season later anyway, right? October is your soft month.
Baseball.
Yeah. It's like October is a soft month. You know, people are still, getting through COVID. I absolutely think that large crowds in some places are still a big deal. And the other thing too is, especially in Canada, how much travel is there? You know, it used to always be, you know, for example, Leafs Vegas tonight. How many people would be coming in from somewhere else mm-hmm. and saying, all right, I'm coming in to see, I'm going to Toronto on Tuesday night, or I'm going to Toronto a weekend to see a game. Like, that's all kind of gone away down a little bit now. So I think there are some other reasons, but I agree with you, Jeff. I think this could have – like, this is not the year, as a team, you want to get off to a bad start. And because I think your chances of ticket sales decreasing are even greater. And I do believe that with everything that's gone on in the past week out of Kyle Beach, I think people have to be worried about that. I don't know what the impact will be, but it's not nothing. And I think it's absolutely potentially an issue.
So we'll stay on this one. Kevin Cheveldayoff, Mark Chipman, poised to speak a little bit later on, general manager and owner of the Winnipeg Jets. The other story happening today, the Chicago Blackhawks and Kyle Beach attempts at reaching a settlement. Today is day one. And the one thing, Rick West had a couple of tweets about this. The one thing that is pretty obvious is that this negotiation will be made public.
Yeah.
We will find out about every move that everybody makes here. Yeah. I don't think this is one where the Hawks say, you know, hey, can we do an NDA here and have some confidential conversations? I don't think the Beach Camp is interested in that, Elliot, at all.
No, I agree with that.
This one is all going to be public.
I agree.
And it sounds very much as if the Beach side is just saying flat out, We don't want to, you know, we don't want you to have, we don't want Rocky Words to have a private conversation with Kyle Beach. We don't want, you know, sidebars, and we don't want pauses on the lawsuit. We want an offer. That's what we want right now. Like, how do you see this one playing out? And keep in mind that before Rechar, you know, read some of the highlights of his report last week, the Jenner and Block report, you know, the Hawks were very convinced that if this thing goes to court, and many people have told me the same, they stand a really good chance of quote unquote winning it. The problem is the damage getting there isn't worth it to Chicago. How do you see this playing out?
I think I am inadequately prepared to properly answer that question. I think you say it right, that there's a certain way that Beach and his lawyer would prefer to do this, and they're going to do what they can to make sure their way happens. I don't think I could guess. I mean, I could guess based on, as you said, what we've seen publicly. But I think playing around with it any more than that is probably foolish.
The one point, though, that we did agree off the top here is this is going to be done in public. This is, and we've talked a lot about this, you know, on the podcast and here on the radio show as well, Elliot, that this is an era right now where people demand transparency more so than ever. You know, at the Daily Bettman press conference yesterday, when the commissioner talked about setting up a network of support that everybody has access to, everybody wants to see the details of that internal audit. Are our resources enough? Everybody wants to see that. You know, the Rechar report. What are one of the questions we talked about on the podcast last night that came out this morning? Can we see the interviews? Can we see the transcripts? You know, a lot of this one is going to be made public. And the Kyle Beach interview with Rick Westhead, putting an emotional face to the story, changed a lot. And I think along the way here too, as more and more people insist on transparency, there's going to be more turns, and there's going to be more tough situations to swallow. But we're going to ultimately, I think, learn more about this, because right now more than ever, this is a culture of transparency. That's what people not only they want, but that's what this culture demands right now.
Let me just say this. I agree. I think a lot of people want transparency until it's about them.
But don't you think in a situation like this, as everyone continues to talk about transparency, eventually the mirror gets turned on them?
Well, of course. That's the way it goes. But like I said, I think that people talk a lot about transparency, and then all of a sudden the mirror gets shined on you and you're not that thrilled about transparency.
That is true. You ever thought how, I don't know, how closely you followed the Aaron Scaldi situation?
I really
assistant coach Jared Scaldi.
I really think that's dangerous territory to wade into until we hear what Aaron Scaldi has to say today. I saw the Penguins statement today. The Blackhawks were in the report, were blamed for failure to report. The Penguins have always said they handled reporting properly, but obviously there's more here. And I think it would be foolish again to wade into this before we hear what Aaron Scaldi has to say.
That's coming up at 3:00 Eastern this afternoon. Katie Strang will be on the show for listeners coming up in 40 minutes time. We'll comment on it. But Elliot just referenced a statement from the Penguins. And here's what they said. We took this Wilkes-Barre-Scranton incident very seriously and acted immediately. The team investigated and addressed the alleged incident within hours of being notified in June 2019, despite the fact that Mr. Scaldi delayed 7 months before he reported the incidents. Immediately upon receiving a report, a full investigation was conducted within 72 hours, and the former coach resigned from the organization. Following the report, Mr. Scaldi continued to coach Wilkes-Barre-Scranton for an additional year until we made significant staff reductions due to COVID-19 pandemic. There's a couple of things that's
we should talk a little bit about the NHLPA call last night.
Let's just jump there. Let's do that. So the executive board met yesterday. We expected there to be a lot of discussion about the future of Donald Fehr. Instead, It seems as if right now they're looking for their own investigation on how they handled things. Your thoughts on what happened there?
Well, just some more, I think some more clarity this morning before, you know, we recorded the pod last night, and I think a lot of it holds up, but just a bit more like this morning. And, you know, one of the things that, and I think this is an agent who's very much practical. He's like, as you know, when it comes to the Players Association, there are some agents who are really pro PA, like you defend the PA at all costs publicly, or but privately, if you've got an issue, you handle it and you get it done, but you don't hurt the union so it doesn't hurt itself when it deals with the NHL. And there's other agents who just hate the leadership of the Players Association and want it out. Like there are factions. And there's one guy in particular who is really very much like, okay, I like to make my own decisions. I'm not on either side. And what he said to me was, look, if you want to change the leadership, if you feel Donald Fehr should be removed over this, I know what he told his clients was, you better make sure you know exactly what happened. Because if you do it wrong, then who knows, could you face a lawsuit in the future? And so that was his advice. Let's find out exactly what happened. And so I think that advice won the day. It's not to say that they believe or don't believe anything that happened. They all believe something very wrong happened. And eventually they do want to get to the bottom of it. And they're very upset about it. But I think the advice to some of them was, and I think it was for more, is that if you're going to place blame, you better be sure you can prove that blame. And I think that's exactly why they came at the conclusion they did.
So that story continues as well. Is there anything else either that we expect today or from yesterday?
I don't know.
Elliot, I mean, we've gone over so much here, and I don't want to keep bashing the same points over and over again, but do you think that there's anything right now that we're leaving out?
I don't know. You know, one of the things I have tried to check on since yesterday was, you know, the league did say yesterday that they completed the investigation with Akeem Alou, and they were in touch, and both of his American and Canadian representatives said that wasn't true. I've checked back this morning to see if there was any attempt to reach out. Like, I just kind of wondered if after what happened yesterday, there would be a conversation about everything stood. You know, his Canadian representative got back to me this morning and said there'd been nothing. I haven't heard from the U.S. one yet, but I think that's something we're obviously going to be following up. Like, okay, now that we are told that there's a completed investigation, where is this going? I mean, anything else, Jeff? I don't know. I mean, I'm probably missing something. Like, you know, I just think that this will keep going in different directions. I remember, again, going back to what Allison Forsyth told us on the weekend, is that, you know, more people are going to come forward. And in probably now that we've seen it in gymnastics, we've seen it in soccer, we've seen it in football, and now in hockey, like, there's going to be more. So I just think that it's impossible to predict except to be ready.
Be ready. Friege, thanks for this as always.